Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers. It's an Old Testament book. It's the fourth book of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then the book of Numbers. And we're going to go to chapter 14. If you don't have your Bibles with you here this morning, we have pew Bibles. They will be of the King James variety. I do read out of an NIV, so the translation is going to be slightly different, but it's going to be the same Word of God. Numbers chapter 14, and I will read verses. Did I say 1 through 10?
Yes,
it's going to be 1 through 9. So we're just going to read the first 9 verses. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. For this, another great story from the Old Testament starts off and says this: that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If we only had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." We'll stop right there. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, another great historical narrative from the Old Testament. And Father, we know this. You have not changed. You are the same God as you were 3,500 years ago as what you are today. Back then, you were speaking to the people, and you speak to us here today. So, Father, we're asking, from this passage from the Old Testament that we just read, how can we learn from this? What did they learn from this? And how do we apply this into our lives here today? Because once again, we know this. You are the same God, and praise you for that. So, Father, prick at our hearts here this morning. Change hearts. Change us, Lord, and mold us into more Christ-likeness as we listen to this message and read and be changed by your scriptures. To you be the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. We are in week number 7 in a sermon series that I have titled Old Testament Lessons, where each week I will be reading a different Old Testament narrative about interesting people who are in the midst of interesting events. Today's message is titled The Confidence of Caleb. This entire sermon series, I think I mentioned this, I'm going to repeat this, was initiated by a conversation that I had with another Christian one Thursday evening while I was out playing music. And while I was out playing music, one of the guys that went up and started playing, his name was Caleb. And I told this Christian friend of mine, I said, after the night was over, I said, "Caleb, what a good biblical name." And he said, "I don't remember seeing the name Caleb in the Bible anywhere." Now, I certainly never doubted this man's Christianity, but since he wasn't aware of a person named Caleb, I just thought this: maybe there are many other Christians, maybe some at Beech Grove Church, who are not aware of some of these great people and these great passages from the Old Testament about these people and events from long ago. So let's do a sermon series, and maybe we can refresh our memories about some of these Old Testament characters. Today, we're going to talk about Caleb. There's a lot of interesting reading about this man, Caleb, but I had to omit a lot of it because we just don't have the time to read all the scripture about Caleb. So let me fill you in on what is going on that leads us up to Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. First, let's set the chronology for this event. The story of Caleb and the spies that we're going to talk about takes place approximately 4 months after the Israelites crossed crossed the Red Sea, and they are now, they've received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, and now it's about 4 months after the Exodus. So now you have in mind about a time frame of what's going on. So they haven't been wandering in the desert for very long, but they are still grumbling, and they have already started grumbled, but they haven't entered the promised land yet. So in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord talks to Moses and tells Moses this, to choose 12 men, one man, a leader from each one of the 12 tribes of Jacob, to go and spy out the land that they are about to possess, to go spy out the promised land. And if you're interested in knowing the names of these 12 men, you can find them back in chapter 13, verses 4 through 15. And I'm not going to cover all those, but I will talk about two of them here this morning. One of those 12 men was a man named Caleb, and he's from the tribe of Judah, the Bible tells us. There was another man, and his name was Joshua, and he was from the tribe of Ephraim. The sixth book of the Bible is named after this man, this spy named Joshua, and who later became the successor of Moses after Moses passed away. So here's what happens. These 12 men are appointed by Moses, and they go into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And they are told by Moses to do a couple things while they are over there. They said, first, check out the people in the promised land. Are they weak or are they strong? Are they few or are they many? Is the land good to live in? Is it fat? Or is it lean? Are there trees or are there no trees? And Moses even asked them, if you can, bring back some of the fruit from the promised land. Well, the men go and they spend 40 days in the promised land spying it out. And then they return back to Moses and all 12 of them give their report. 10 of the 12 men, they give this report in chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. They say this to Moses and the congregation. We are not able to go up against these people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. And they said this, the land which we have gone through, which we have spied out, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw there are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. 10 of the 12 spies come back and give a negative report. But two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, they think differently. In chapter 13, verse 30, Caleb says this to Moses when he starts to give his report. And he says this, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. Caleb gives a positive report. Conclusion. 10 of the 12 spies, that's 83%, give a discouraging report. So when we get to Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, it says that the Israelite community heard the report and they wept all night. They were so upset over this report that in verse 4 of chapter 14, they demand a new leader. And they demand to return back to Egypt. Get rid of Moses. Get rid of this promised land. Let's just go back to what we know and what we can identify with. So let's just stop here for a moment and let's kind of look at the story. Put yourself in the shoes of somebody in that Israelite community and you hear both of these reports. You've been wandering in the desert for 4 months and you feel like that's an eternity. You are tired of eating quail, you're tired of eating manna, and you're constantly grumbling about some issue or you're grumbling about some other person. So that's the negative things that you're going through. On the other hand, over here, the positive side, you remember the 10 plagues of Egypt, and you remember the favor that God had on Moses and his chosen people, his favor that he had on you. You crossed the Red Sea on dry ground because you remember the waters parted, and it wasn't muddy. It was dry ground that you crossed over. And you witnessed the entire Egyptian army being destroyed when the waters returned back to where they were. So you've seen the good, and you've witnessed the bad. And now you hear this report from 83% of the guys who spied out the land. And now you are ready to give up because you finally think the people that are in the land that we're about to possess, that has been promised by God, they are going to whip our behinds. And that's what you're thinking. So in your bulletin, you have a question to ponder. And this just might be something you just might want to think about. And the question to ponder is this. After hearing, you are one of those Israelites, so after hearing this negative report from the spies, would you also be ready to pack up and just move right back to Egypt? Is this negative report that you heard from 83% of the spies enough for you to desire, you want your old life back, and you want that life of slavery in a foreign country? Which would you rather do? You have a decision to make. And it looks like the Israelite community is making their decision. The next day, in Numbers chapter 14, verses 7 and 9, we read that earlier, both Caleb and Joshua, they speak to the congregation. And they say this, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this. Oh, wait a second. The land we passed through that we spied out, it is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land. And he's going to give it to us. And it's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Only don't do this, congregation. Let's not rebel against the Lord. And don't fear the people, because we're not going to be their prey. They are going to be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord God, he is going to be with us. So do not fear those people on the other side. So let's look at this confidence that Caleb had in his report. Now, you remember, all 12 of these guys, they witnessed the same thing. But 10 of them thought negative, 2 of them think positive. We have 3 fill-in-the-blanks in our, actually 4 fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin this morning. Let's go to the first one. Let's look at what Caleb is thinking. Where is his confidence coming from? The confidence of Caleb for the possession of the promised land was based on the power. That'd be the first word we fill in. Was based on the power of God. Caleb must have remembered the plagues from back in Egypt. He remembered that some of those plagues only affected the Egyptians and never affected the Hebrews. He understood the 10th plague of how God passed over those that had blood on their mantles of their doorposts. And the Lord, the angel of death, killed every firstborn of everyone who didn't have that blood over it, including the Pharaoh's son. He remembered these things. He saw the waters of the Red Sea parting and the people of God crossing across that Red Sea on dry ground. Caleb understood and he knew the power of God. With the power of God, the size of an enemy was not going to be an issue to worry about. It would not be on his own power. It would be on God's power. Fill in the blank number two. So we have God's power. And we have two more words that begin with P. And maybe you figure them all out. Second, the confidence of Caleb for the possession of the promised land was based on the promises of God. The promises of God. Caleb heard and he knew the promises that God had given to Abraham that his people would indeed inherit the promised land. And he knew this, that God would never, ever, ever renege on the promises that he had made, especially to his own chosen people. And there they were, about ready to fulfill that promise. All they got to do is go on over and take it. Caleb knew and understood the promises of God. With the promises of God, the size of the enemy was never going to be an issue to worry about. Caleb knew the power of God. He knew the promises of God. And what's the third thing he knew? The confidence of Caleb for the possession of the promised land was based on the protection of God. The power of God, the promises of God, the protection of God. Caleb knew that if the Israelites would not rebel against God, there was a little caveat there. Hey, let's not rebel against God, congregation. That God would remove his protection from the Canaanites, the enemy on the other side, and instead he would place his hand of protection upon us, the Israelites. We got this thing because God got this thing. He's got his protective hand upon us. And with God's protection, there should be nothing, nothing, nothing that we should fear. The Lord is going to be with us. Caleb knew and understood the protection of God. And with the protection of God, the size of the enemy was not an issue to worry about. Caleb had confidence in the power, in the promises, and in the protection of God. But his speech obviously was not too convincing, and his confidence was obviously not very contagious. After his speech, the Israelite community once again sides with the 83% of the spies, and in verse number 10, which we did not read, they want to stone both Caleb and Joshua. How could you guys possibly come back here with a positive report? Well, the Israelite community might not be pleased with Caleb and Joshua. But the Lord, meanwhile, is not pleased with the Israelite community or the 10 spies. And the Lord says this, "How long will this people spurn me? How long will they not believe in me despite all the signs that I have performed in their midst?" And in verse number 12 of chapter 14, the Lord tells Moses he is about to smite the whole Israelite community with pestilence and dispossess them as his inheritance. The Lord is angry. Luckily, the Israelite community has Moses. In verses 13 through 19, Moses pleads with the Lord to reconsider his threat. And he even had the boldness to remind God, good gracious, to remind God, "God, remember, you are slow to anger and you're abundant in loving kindness. And you forgive iniquity and transgression." And the Bible says that Moses prayed this prayer according to the greatness, to God's greatness, and according to his loving kindness. I don't know if I could be quite as bold as Moses was. But we know that Moses did say this. Well, the Lord relents on his initial judgment of pestilence and dispossession, but there are going to be consequences. And this is where the story really gets pretty good. So what will be the consequences of these particular people who fail to have confidence and faith in the power and in the promises and in the protection of Almighty God? Here are three consequences that they suffered. In verse number 37 of Numbers 14, it tells us that the 10 spies, we'll start with them first, the 10 spies that made the congregation grumble by delivering a bad report concerning the land, they died of a plague before the Lord. So the 10 bad guys, the 10 bad spies, they are now out of the picture. Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 29. The second thing tells us that every man, every male 20 years of age and older who was counted in the census, who grumbled against the Lord, would die in the desert before they ever got to enter the promised land. Could you imagine? There you are. You're 20 years old and you're a male or older. And now you've just been told by God himself, you're never going to see the promised land because you sided with those spies who didn't believe in my power, my promises, and my protection. So every man 20 years of age and older would never see the promised land, which leads us to the third consequence. Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 23, tells us that the Israelites would now be wandering in the desert for 40 years. 1 year for each of the 40 days that the spies explored the land. Imagine, there they were, just 4 months after the Exodus. They were ready to inhabit, take over the promised land. All they had to do was believe a good report and go on over and take it, and the land would be theirs. But no, they believed the negative reports. And God says this, okay, you'll still be my possession, and I won't hit you with pestilence, but you got 40 long years ahead of you that you're going to be wandering right here in the desert. Plagues, death, and wandering. All because the people refused to have the same confidence that Caleb and Joshua had in the power, in the promises, and in the protection of Almighty God. And by the way, the Bible also tells us this, that only Caleb and Joshua were the only two men over the age of 20 that were allowed to enter the promised land. Not even Moses was allowed to enter the promised land. And that's going to be a sermon for another Sunday. Interesting story behind that. Our fill in the blank number four, the final one there in our bulletins. Let's kind of conclude this. It says this, Caleb understood God and the overtaking of the promised land because he looked at things from God's perspective and not from who wants to give me the fill in the blank? Man's perspective. He looked at his situation, his predicament from God's perspective and not from man's perspective. If we are going to learn anything from this lesson here this morning, we must learn how we need to view our situations, whatever those situations are. Folks, we are not, as Christians, we are not grasshoppers in the eyes of men. I say this, we are more than conquerors in the eyes of God. Amen?
Amen.
That was a pretty weak amen. Let me say this again. We are not grasshoppers in the eyes of men. We are more than conquerors in the eyes of God. Amen?
Amen.
There you go. Let's get excited about this Christian faith here this morning. Here we are today as God's chosen, his elect. Do we, like Caleb, Do we have confidence in the power of God? We have a whole book here in front of us that talks about the power of God. Has that power changed in any way? No, it hasn't. Question number two. Here we are today, as Christians, as God's chosen, as His elect. Do we, like Caleb, have confidence in the promises of God? We have a whole book here in front of us that talks about the promises of God. Have those promises changed? I will never leave you or forsake you. Good answer. I will never leave you or forsake you. Got my own little amen corner right there. You guys need to come back. Have the promises changed? If Jesus says this, I will never leave you or forsake you, is that still good? Of course it is. Here we are today as Christians, as God's chosen people, as His elect. Do we, like Caleb, have confidence in the protection of God? Do we have a whole book right here in front of us that talks about the protection of God. Has His protection of His own people, has that changed over the year? Sure, over the years, sure, we might not be Israelites, but we are the church. We are the called out ones. We are believers. We are this group of sanctified people, and His protection has not changed one bit. So let's just end by thinking about this. I guarantee that in each and every one of our lives, no matter what age we may be, and it seems like the older we get, the more that we have curveballs thrown into our life, that this happens and this happens and this happens in this medical situation and this financial situation and this relationship issue seems to happen. When all those things just seem to be happening and we think that God seems to be absent, are you ready to give up and go back to Egypt? Amen, sister. We are not ready to go back to Egypt. Great answer. Are you ready to give up and go back to your old familiar ways that really suit you, but they're not really pleasing to God? Because God wants us over here. He doesn't want us going back to Egypt. We are new creations in Christ. Remember, the old has gone, the new has come. We have a Savior. We have the power of God. We have the promises of God. And we have the protection of God. So when we go through bad times, why are we looking for God when He's right there? Right there in front of us. But sometimes we think, He's absent. God, where have you gone? And He's saying this, I haven't gone anywhere. Where have you gone? We are the ones who have moved. Because we are the ones who have failed to believe in the power, promises, and protection of God. The confidence of Caleb. We have a choice. We can believe the negative report given by those 83% who say that everything's going to hell in a handbasket, or we can believe the positive report given by Caleb and Joshua and the two and the other 17%. Who are you going to side with? These guys over here or these guys over here? I know who I'm going to side with. I'm going to side with the power and the promises and the protection of Almighty God. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.